daughter Emily and Faith, she's in Children's Church, and our other daughter Danielle, she's back home in Virginia. But we're missionaries to the homeless here in America. A little bit about our ministry. You know, I surrendered to preach back in 2012 around Christmas time. Since that time, the Lord started working with us to go to nursing homes. We started going to a lot of different places, regional jails, started going to a lot of homeless missions and preaching to people, and started seeing a lot of souls saved and got to praying about what God would have us to do. So finally, in 2014, the Lord led us to Jacksonville, Florida, where we got accepted as missionaries through Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples. And at that time, what we started doing was working with churches throughout America to start ministries to the poor and needy. A lot of times a pastor will call us up and he'll say, "Preacher, we got a lot of homeless people. We don't know what to do." A lot of times we'll just go to an area. We'll spend a week or two out on the streets. We go to people living in homeless camps, out in the under bridges, out in the woods, and different places, and we try to take the Word of God to them. We do street ministries. Some other things we do is we partner with Unsheltered International, and we do resource clinics here in America. These resource clinics will go into a city. We have a preaching service. We have free food, Bibles, reading glasses, haircuts, medical screenings, pantry, clothing, hygiene, all different resources for the poor and needy. Last year, we were blessed to have 7 resource clinics in 6 different states. So when we started in 2014, we were doing 2 a year. We had 7 last year, and I think we've got 7 scheduled this year. So we're excited about what God's doing in that ministry. Some other things we do is we go out and we do homeless revivals where we bus people into a church, and we usually have a 3-day meeting or a 3-night, depending on the circumstance, and we'll have some resources available. But our ultimate goal is to reach the poor and the needy on the streets of America and to get them off the streets back into God's house. So a lot of what we do is educating churches throughout America, because a lot of churches say everybody welcome, but that's not what they mean. Our goal is to find local independent Baptist churches that really want the homeless inside their doors, because that's where they need to be, is inside God's house. But once we get our full support, we're somewhere around 75% of our support. Lord's really blessed. In the last year, we've gone from 30% to about 75%. And once we get that, we're hoping to start planting missions, Baptist-based missions, into smaller communities throughout America. We're hoping to start somewhere in the Washington County, Virginia area, there in the Abingdon area. I also do a jail ministry there in our local area, and I go to the jail every Thursday that I'm home. But we have the biggest jail or prison in the entire state of Virginia is now in Abingdon. It started out as a regional jail. We have now federal prisoners that are coming from all over America. And when they get out of jail in Abingdon, usually when they go back to the streets, they have nowhere to go. We've got a Haven Arrest homeless mission in Bristol, Tennessee, about 45 minutes away. But now when you go out of Virginia, you go into Virginia up Interstate 81, you have to drive over 2 hours to Roanoke, Virginia, before there's another homeless mission of any kind. So what happens is when they get out of jail, a lot of times there's nowhere to go, so they end up going back to jail for trespassing. And so we're hoping to plan a place there to get some of these guys off the street and teach them about Jesus, because he's the only one that can help them. But y'all pray for us. Pray we can get our full support up. We're getting ready to put a board together right now. We're in the process of doing that. So we're finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're excited to see what God's going to do. But I've got a burden for America, but it's going to take God to fix it. So y'all just pray for us. But I've got a message that I'd like to share that goes along with what we do, because a lot of people wonder, you know, they don't know who the homeless are in America to begin with. And second of all, they don't understand what's going on inside our own country. And then what should we actually be doing to help our own country? So I'm going to start today over in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, with a very familiar scripture. And I'm going to go around several places through the Bible today, but we're going to start here in Luke 15, verse 11. And before we get started, I always like to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, it's come to you today, Lord. Just want to thank you for this great honor and privilege to be in your house here today, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, as you have me to preach, teach, whatever you have me do today, Lord, just pray you come down and speak the words to me today, Lord, for you're the preacher, you're the teacher. Lord, I'm not anything today, Lord. Just pray that I can be used a willing vessel for your glory today. Lord, be a help to this congregation. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if it be somebody sitting in our midst lost today, Lord, I just pray today be the day they get that conviction in their heart, Lord. They won't walk out this door till they come to know you as Lord and Savior, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord. And I just want to pray, Lord, that everything that we do, you get all the praise, Lord. It's all about you today, Lord. We just pray and get myself out of the way and be used a willing vessel for your glory. We thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for what you've been doing and what you're going to do. We just ask you all these things in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. But we're going to start here in Luke 15, verse 11, and we're going to start with Jesus speaking. It said, "A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You know, we've all heard this story preached many times of this prodigal son. Basically, this younger son was telling his father he wished he was dead. He wanted to go ahead and get that inheritance that was coming to him, and he wanted to go ahead and waste it on this riotous living, this ungodly living. So he took that inheritance and he went out there and he wasted it. And we study this out and find out that he laid with the harlots, you know, and he did all these different things. And all of a sudden, that money was all gone. And he found himself down in a hog pen, found himself in there eating with those swine. You know, today in America, we've got a lot of people today in this situation. There's a lot of people today that's got their eyes on the world. You know, they've wasted it all, maybe on drugs, or they've wasted it on alcohol or some of the other pleasures of this world. Next thing you know, they find themselves on rock bottom down that hog pen. You know, sometimes it takes getting so low that when you look up, all you can see is a cross to realize that you need Jesus. There's a lot of people. You know, I think about a lady, Tammy, that we deal with in our area. Tammy, she used to be a nurse. She used to work in a hospital, and you know, she's now an alcoholic, lives on the streets, been homeless for, I think, 13 years now. So Tammy, she knows what she needs. But yet that alcohol's got such a grip on her. There's a lot of people today that are hurting in that condition today. But not only that one that's wasted on drugs or alcohol, but what about that one today, that church member that came up and asked Jesus Christ into their heart, but they got their eyes off of Christ. And they got their eyes in the world. You know, this man in this story, this prodigal son, as long as he was there and he had his eyes on his father, everything was all right. But when he got his eyes off his father and got his eyes on the world, look where he ended up. I'm telling you today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you get your eyes on the world, that's dangerous. You know, God's got ways of opening our eyes. He may take our home from us. You may end up in jail today. You realize that today? God's got ways of opening our eyes. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'll never forget. A few years ago, we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I went down under this bridge, and I got to praying with this man. I said, can we pray with you? And he got excited, and he got to shouting. And this man said, look, he said, it's my fault that I'm living down here. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, there was a time in his life that he flew commercial airlines for a living. He said, after 9/11, they were going to make him go back to school. He said he didn't want to go back to school, so he took another job. So this man, him and his wife, they had a nice car, a nice truck, had a nice home, had a little bit of money in their savings account. He said it wasn't long, he got laid off from that other job, and they took all the money they had in their savings account to pay their bills. So he said in a few months, all that was gone. So he ended up losing his home, ended up losing his car, his truck. This man and woman now sleeping under a bridge there in Chattanooga. But the thing that stuck out in my mind was he told us, he said that God had called him to do a work. And he said he ran from God. I'm telling you today that that's dangerous. It's dangerous today to get out of God's will. But you know, the point I'm trying to make here, first of all, is who are the homeless? When we go around America and we say, hey, we're missionaries to the homeless, the first thing that comes to most people's minds is that drug dealer, that drug addict, you know, that alcoholic, that harlot. That's who we think about when we think about homelessness in America. But do you realize that this group only makes up about a third of the people who are living on our streets in America? Only about a third of the people fall into this category. So you say, well, who are the other ones? Well, if you'll turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 5, also another very familiar scripture. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1 said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man of an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Also, another very familiar scripture. This man would lay around in those tombs, and nobody could control this man. We know that he was a maniac, but nobody could do anything with this man. They would try to control him and try to chain him up, and he would break those chains, and he would break those fetters, and So when Jesus goes over there to this man that nobody can control, he's sitting there and he's crying and he's cutting himself. You know, this man was miserable sitting there crying and cutting himself. Today, if we ran into a man like this out in society today, what would we say? We'd say, that man's crazy. Do you realize today that a third of the people living on our streets in America and over 50% of the people behind bars suffer from mental illness? It's an epidemic here in the United States. You say, why is that? I don't know the whole reason, but I do know that if we go back to 1980, under President Ronald Reagan, a lot of the mental health institutions were cut down. They were closed. And because of that, a lot of these people were living on our streets here in America. It's an epidemic. We'll drive by and we'll see them holding a sign so they can go to work. A lot of people don't have the mental capability of holding down a job. You say, what are you talking about? We was up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Went into a homeless camp and I met a man up there. And he said, I'm America's most important man. And I said, what are you talking about? He said he was a special police force for the President of the United States. He said that the military allowed him to live in a homeless camp until they needed him and they would come and get him. He said the military was watching him 24 hours a day, and if you laid a finger on him, they was going to come storming in to protect him. This man believed that story so much that he had business cards made, had real business cards that said that. That's the kind of people living on our streets here in America. But you know, I think about this man and his story. We know that this maniac, we know that Jesus touched him. And you know, a lot of mental illness today is nothing more than demonic possession. A lot of it is demonic possession, you know, and I got to thinking about something that I know every one of y'all know about. I think about last year, about that school shooting they had down here in Florida. You know, I don't watch a lot of news, but something caught my attention about that shooting. This young man was a homeless boy that a family had taken in off the streets to be nice to him. They took this homeless boy off the streets, and he made the comment to the media, he said, that demons told him to do it. You know, I don't doubt that for a minute. I don't doubt it for a minute, but my thinking is, what if some preacher, what if some missionary, what if somebody would have went to this young man and told him about Jesus? Today, there's a lot of people out there on the streets that need to hear about Jesus. But the point I'm trying to get is, who are the homeless first, and then we're going to move on, but we got the prodigal son makes up a third. We've got the mental illness that makes up about a third of homelessness. But then we have a group here in America that we don't think about. You say, well, who is that? Well, if you want to turn back with me again to Luke, this time chapter 10 and verse 30. Also another very familiar scripture, but we'll start here with Jesus speaking. Said a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This man in this story, he was on a journey through life. He ends up beaten, he ends up robbed, and ends up homeless. So here's this beaten, robbed, homeless man. Now this priest represents the religious crowd. So here's this homeless man over there beaten and robbed. Here comes this priest by. Sees this man over there. Not my problem. He just passes him right on by. Then here comes this Levite. Here's this old homeless man over there. That ain't my problem. Passes him right on by. But you know, thank the Lord for that good Samaritan come by and had compassion. Jude 22 said, in the sum, having compassion, making a difference. It doesn't matter why they're homeless. It doesn't matter why they're out there. We ought to have compassion today. We ought to have love. I've heard people say, well, preacher, they don't smell too good. Don't you think when Jesus sees us, He sees a stink of sin? We're all a bunch of sinners deserving hell. It's only by God's grace today that we're not homeless or in jail or even in hell. But today, a lot of times, we'll pass them right on by. We need to have compassion. But this man, he took him and he paid his bills. And he said, whatever he needs, I'll take care of that when I come back. But the point I'm trying to make is there's a lot of people in America today that were on a journey through life. And they didn't do anything. It just happened. They just end up homeless. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we run into a lot of people here in America. A lot of people 50, 60 years old living in homeless camps. You know, we were down in Chattanooga and we ran into a man. This man, I think, was 53 years old. Took a job working for a contractor when he's 18 years old. Laid pipe his entire life. He's never done anything in his life other than lay pipe for a contractor. So now this man's 53 years old. He gets laid off. He goes and applies for a job, and a 20-year-old boy walks in. Guess who's going to get that job? There's a lot of people 50, 60 years old that can't draw Social Security, but yet the job market don't want them. They say we don't discriminate against age, but we do here in America. Not only that today, who are you without ID? We were up in Cincinnati, Ohio. We was downtown in the homeless camps, and we were inviting people to come to a resource clinic. Well, this lady, she jumped up. She said, hey, she said, you guys have birth tickets. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, come down. We'll do our best to get you fixed up. So this lady told us her story. She'd lived downtown Cincinnati her entire life. She said whenever she lost her job, she would go get another job, but she'd always been blessed to keep a small apartment that she lived in. Well, she said something happened and she lost all of her important papers. So all that stuff was gone. So then she goes to get a job and they look at her and say, well, you got to have birth ticket or Social Security card. She didn't have either one. So she goes to Social Security office. She says, hey, will you guys help me? And they look at her and say, well, you got to have a birth certificate to get a Social Security card. She says, how do I do that? They say, we don't know. Try City Hall. Lady goes down to City Hall. City Hall says, we don't do that here. So this lady been sleeping under a bridge for 9 months just simply because she had nobody to help. Saturday morning, she left grinning from ear to ear. She was so excited. She says she's going to get back on her feet. She was so happy. That's how easy it is in America to end up homeless. Not only that, today we run into a lot of people on the streets of America, 18 years old. How many people do you know today that when they turn 18, they've got enough money to go ahead and get them a house and a place to live and take care of the bills? We got a lot of people in America that are in foster care for money. A lot of these kids turn 18 years old, they're kicked out on the streets. They don't have mom and dad to go to. They don't have anywhere to go. They're just living on the streets here in America. So the point I'm trying to make is, first, who are the homeless? We got the prodigal son, we've got the mental illness, and we got the one that didn't do anything. Each one of these probably makes up about a third of our homelessness living on our streets. But then you say, well, why should I care? You know, why should I worry? I've got food on my table, shoes on my feet. Well, the Word of God tells us in 1 John 3:17. It says, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, listen to the next word. How dwelleth the love of God in him? If we have no compassion or no love for that one that looks different or smells different or acts different, how could we possibly have a love of God in us? You know, I used to make comments about that one on the street, but let me tell you, when I got saved, I got a new heart. I don't care what they look like, what they smell like. I want to tell them about Jesus. But today, the Lord's really opened our eyes about what's going on inside the United States. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we cut our TVs on and we see the violent crime that's going on today. We see the drug addiction problems that we're having today. We see the homosexual marriage and all these things taking place. We see the abortion rate. Now they're wanting to murder babies after they're born. We see all these things taking place in America today. The Muslim religion, the fastest growing religion in the United States. And you know, we turn our clocks back 30 years. We didn't see these things in America like we do today. Right. And I know that you can argue we're in the last days, we're in a falling away, and I believe that. But here's the thing. 30 years ago in America, our churches had a burden to go outside the four walls of the church and to reach the poor and the needy on the streets of America and to get them back into God's house. But what's happened in the past 30 years is the churches today are only worried about who's inside the four walls. They're not worried about the poor and the needy people outside the four walls. If we study the Word of God, Jesus went to the poor. But today, not only have we failed greatly as a nation to reach our own people, but we've hardened our heart. You say, what are you talking about? Deuteronomy 15:7 says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, shall surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth. So the Bible says if we got a poor brethren out there, we're not to harden our heart, but we're to open our hand. You know, today, if I was a missionary going to a foreign land, I could come in, I could show you pictures of people that are starving. And our response is going to be, you know, those people are just so pitiful. Those poor people, they don't have anything. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a huge need all around the globe. And we've been blessed as Americans to send missionaries all around the world. But we've got the exact same thing in Florida. We've got the exact same thing all over America. But our hardened heart says, they can go to work. They can go to McDonald's. That's what our hardened heart says here in America about our own people. Do you realize today that most homeless people living on the streets of America cannot go to McDonald's and get a job? You say, what are you talking about? They got to have an ID. You know, we can help them get a birth certificate. That's usually the easiest thing. If you're born in America, we can usually help you get a birth certificate. But then, in Virginia, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, South Dakota, Texas, and I'm sure most other states, in order to get a photo ID, you have to have a home that you live in. Which means if you're sleeping under a bridge, you can't get a photo ID, which means you're not getting a job. But we'll ride by, see them holding their sign, oh, McDonald's is hiring across the street. We need to have compassion towards our own people. Today, our violent crime stems from our poor neighborhoods. Our abortion rates is more in the poor neighborhoods. Homosexuality, I found out, is even more in the poor neighborhoods. The Muslim religion, fastest growing religion in the United States of America, is stemming from our poor neighborhoods. You know, we're going to Ocoee this year, Ocoee, Florida, to do a resource clinic. The pastor up there at Ocoee, First Baptist Church, Brother Harris, they have a Muslim mosque that joins the property of the church. Every Friday night, they're filling up homeless people straight off the street, bringing them in, giving them dental, giving them medical, giving them all these things to come in and join the mosque. They got plenty of money. So we want to watch out for America. America needs the Word of God. But like I say, the Lord's really opened our eyes about a few things. You say, what are you talking about? Well, over in Psalms 37 and 14, the Lord really opened our eyes about, I think it's been about 4 years ago, over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Psalms 37, 14 says, the wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent down their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be in upright conversation. Listen, that wicked drawn out the sword and bent down their bow to cast down the poor and needy. Well, over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we were going to do a resource clinic for the first time around 4 years ago with Brother Eric Goff, our Lexington Baptist. Well, Brother Goff was getting really discouraged because he wanted to find another fundamental independent Baptist that would help us over there in Winston-Salem. Well, he couldn't find a church that's willing to help out. So I go over there one day and we get in a church van and he said, I want to show you why we can't find anybody that's willing to help us. So what's happened on the north side of town? They've been building new homes, new shopping centers, new condos, all this really nice stuff over there on the north side of town. So what happened when they built all this nice stuff on the north side of town? All the poor people were pushed to the south side of town. Well, Brother Goff's church is over there on the south side of town where all the poor people live. So what happened when all the poor people were pushed to the south side of Winston, all these independent Baptists over there on the south side said, hey, we don't want to be over here for all these old poor people. So they shut the doors of the churches, went over to the north side of town where all the money is. Because the Baptists, they more worried about who can help us inside the four walls than who can we help out there. So then he took me around and said, I'm going to show you something, break your heart. One of those churches is now a Muslim mosque. Muslims growing like crazy over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Same thing all over Virginia. Same thing all over Alabama. Same thing all over Ohio. All over Florida. It's happening all over America. Why is that? Because the churches are not going out into these poor neighborhoods. You know, they're not doing bus ministries. They say bus ministries don't work. You know why they don't work? Because they ain't doing them. Brother Mike Andrews, a good friend of mine, planted a church down in Augusta, Georgia to reach kids on the street. Brother Mike, last time I was there, had the building completely full of kids. But he looked at me and he said, look, he said, if I had a building big enough, bus big enough, he said, I could pick up 1,000 kids every single service. The other churches don't want them. Afraid to mess their buildings up. And we wonder what's wrong with America today. We've got churches in our area. They quit doing bus ministries because the church kids ain't got the right, or the bus kids didn't have the right clothes. I know of a church put in a water fountain because the parents didn't want their kids drinking after the bus kids. And we wonder what's wrong with America. America, we need to be reaching our poor and needy today, but our churches in our inner cities are gone. They have left the inner cities of America, and they've gone to the rural communities, they've gone to the good side of town, and there's nobody going in these inner cities to reach our poor people. But that's who the Muslims are targeting. They're going in the streets there in America, in these inner cities, and they're reaching them. Do you realize today? I've heard different missionaries make different results, but I've heard several times now, according to several missionaries, that America is now supposed to be second in foreign missions. Only behind India, second in foreign missions of people coming here to reach our people. You know, we finally found a second church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Southside Baptist. The only reason the doors are open on Southside Baptist Church is the pastor of that church is a missionary from Chile to America. He came from Chile to minister to Americans and leave the doors of that church open. We've run into missionaries from China to America, from Honduras to America. People coming here in the United States to reach our people. You say, why is that? Because today, the missionaries are realizing that America has carried the mission field for all these years. But who's going to carry it when the American church is gone? You know, today I realize that ain't popular. You say, what are you talking about? When I call preachers up and I say, hey, look, I'm a missionary to the homeless in America. 3/4 of preachers cut me off right there. And the first thing they're going to say is, well, we only support foreign missions. Meaning we're not worried about American missionaries or reaching our own people. Then the next thing you're going to hear is, well, we're only interested in church planters. Now, don't get me wrong, church planting is great. We've helped Brother Eric out in South Dakota. We've been helping a pastor down in New Orleans to plant a church, Brother Terry Rogers. But here's the thing, in America, we have 4,000 to 6,000 churches closing a year. 4,000 to 6,000 churches. You're saying, why is it? Somebody's got to go out and get them, bring them in. So you say, what should we be doing? Well, that's very simple. Again, back in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That word seek, it means to hunt. It means to find, to go look for. You know, every church we go to, they say, let's pray for revival. Let's pray. And let me tell you, we need revival. Our churches need to be revived. We need to be fired up. But let me tell you, we can have all the meetings we want inside these four walls, but until somebody takes it to America, America ain't going to change. I want to see America great again, but it's going to take a movement of God. You know, we got some myths here in America. Some myths is everybody's heard about Jesus. If you believe that, go on the streets with us. You're going to find out really quick. A lot of people have no idea who Jesus is. I'll never forget the first time we went to New Orleans helping Pastor Terry in 2016. And I'm going to tell you, that place ain't no vacation spot. It ain't nothing but wicked. It's wicked down there. It's evil. We went down there, spent an entire week on the streets talking to people. And I bet in that entire week we talked to hundreds of people, maybe more than that. Running two people that knew anything at all about Jesus. I'm talking about here in America. You know, today we've got a myth that everybody that wants to go to church gets to go to church. You know, we've did outreaches in our area and it amazed me how many people said, oh yeah, you provide transportation, we'd love to go to church, can't get there. Down in New Orleans, Pastor Terry, he's got a van now and he's bringing 2 loads every Sunday. People begging to go to church, can't get to God's house. He can't haul them all here in the United States. Then Luke chapter 14, verse 23. This is the whole basis of our ministry. And the Lord said to the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's our whole goal today, is reach the poor and the needy on the streets of America and to get them back into God's house. You know, I've got preachers that will go with me to the jail. I've got preachers that will go with me to the streets. But these guys need to be in God's house hearing the Word of God. That's where they're going to find help. So today, a lot of what we do is educating churches. A lot of churches don't want them. But if they're going to get true help, they got to get it from God. It means they need to be in God's house. And then last but not least, you say, why should I worry about the homeless? Why should I care? Who did we come here today to serve? I came to worship Jesus Christ. I wonder today how many Baptists would have anything at all to do with Christ. Would we be like that religious man, that priest, and just pass him on by? Be like that Levite, stick our nose up in there and just go on by? He said, what are you talking about? Well, Luke chapter 9, verse 58, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Do you realize today we came here to worship a homeless man? How many Baptists would go to church on Sunday and worship a homeless man but stick their nose up there at one on Monday? Like I say, it doesn't matter why they're in that situation. They've got a soul and they need to hear about Jesus. And so y'all just pray for us. I got a burden. I want to see things great, like I say, but God's got to do it. So I don't know all of you, but I love you. And I'm going to try to hush up and get out of the way.
Amen. That was good. Straightforward. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. And we'll close the Sunday school hour. We'll have a few minutes in between. If you get a chance to go back to the table, greet Brother Mitchell, learn about their ministry. Lord, we thank you for this day once again. Thank you for the challenge that we've received. Please just prick our hearts. Lord, it's so easy for us to harden our hearts and for whatever reason, but it's not right. And Lord, give us your eyes as we look at others around us. Thank you for your servant you've brought today. In your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed from Sunday school. Let's be back in our seats at 10:30.